Hello, and welcome to our podcast for the Comprehensive Opioid Stimulant and Substance Abuse Program, known as COSAP. It's an initiative of the Bureau of Justice Assistance. I'm your host, Paige Pressler-Jurr, with the RTI COSAP Training and Technical Assistance Team. We are here to celebrate National Recovery Month. This podcast series is highlighting individuals across the criminal legal system to focus on what National Recovery Month means to their work and how they strive to support people in recovery. These conversations join together voices of individuals and community members across the nation who make recovery in all its forms possible. Here to help us with this discussion is Detective Eric Adams of the Laconia Police Department. Detective Adams is a 20-year law enforcement veteran and currently serves as the Prevention, Enforcement, and Treatment Coordinator for both Laconia Police Department and also for a new COSAP initiative awarded to the New Hampshire Department of Justice. Welcome, Detective Adams.
Thank you.
I'd love to hear about your story and how it led to your current role as the Prevention, Enforcement, and Treatment Coordinator at Laconia PD.
So back in 2014, the city was seeing a rise in overdoses, which unfortunately was really taking a toll on community. And so we also started to see a really high increase in youth use as well as overdoses. And so the police department decided to come up with an idea as to how we could work more in conjunction with the community and with individuals that struggle with substance misuse. And so this position was initially gauged for an officer to identify the 10 most critical individuals that we deal with on a regular basis, people that are high utilizers of our resources, such as the ER, the fire department, the police department, and then local resources. And so they tasked me to work with those individuals and try to figure out ways that we could support them instead of just incarcerating them. So that's originally how it got started. It has kind of just grown from there.
That's great. And we'd love to hear about maybe a specific meaningful experience that you've had that really shaped your career supporting individuals and their families who are struggling with substance use and mental health disorders.
I think for me, one of the most difficult things was when I started doing this position, I met a young lady and I was still at the very beginning stages of this work. So I was really trying to understand what addiction means and how deep roots can go. And so in working with this young lady, she was a victim of some traumatic incidences, to include sexual assault. And in working with her, I really started to identify that there are many different ways that someone can fall into addiction. And so one of the things that she taught me was that no matter how deep these traumas are, if you have a good support system and you truly believe in your heart that you can work through recovery, anything's possible. When working with her, it really kind of helped me grow as a person to really understand that people that struggle with addiction, they're not bad people. And I always hated the fact of seeing that stigma. And so one of the things that I always try to do in our community and surrounding communities is to help reduce the stigma of addiction. Because unless you walked in a person's shoes, you really shouldn't be judging them. And so I teach that with our officers and in my own family. And it's just important for people to know that.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. It's such a common theme that we hear that fighting that stigma is so important to making these programs successful. You're now part of the state-based COSAP program for New Hampshire. Can you tell us more about how you would like to help law enforcement officers and their agencies across your state?
As far as this grant goes, it allows me the opportunity to work with several communities on increasing the ability for our officers to work directly with people that struggle with substance misuse. And I also find that substance misuse and mental health go hand in hand. And there's so many people that struggle with co-occurring disorders. And so really trying to get our officers to understand that the stigma reduction, but also language matters, how we approach, right, and how we work with someone. Those are all key factors. Not only is that a key factor, but the ability for us to really take a look at the individual as a whole and what has happened in their past. Because a lot of the officers in these communities, and any officer really that has some time on, they're going to deal with probably generational addiction. And so understanding that how this person grew up, it's kind of all they've known, right, to some degree. And we can hope that there were supports somewhere along the way. But getting that officer to really understand that they may be the only support system and the only person that has shown some type of support for that individual. So my hope is that working with these officers, it really gives them a good base of how they can support someone in their community that struggles.
That's fantastic. We're really excited to see where the New Hampshire COSAP grant goes and all the ways that you're going to be creating change there. You're also a founding member of the Navigating Recovery of the Lakes Region, a local recovery center. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about how that came to be?
Sure. Myself and a few individuals that were in recovery, as well as a state representative at the time and one of our city councilors, we sat down in a church basement and basically decided that we needed to do something for people in recovery and a support system to make this community more recovery friendly. And so once we did that, we started with bringing in substance misuse prevention individuals and professionals. We started bringing in addiction counselors. We started bringing in other peers. And so we then ended up renting a small space in downtown Laconia. And then from there, the recovery community organization grew to where we are now in a 2,500 square foot building with several coaches and an executive director and an operating budget close to $1 million. So it's just it's a great feeling and it's well respected and it's needed in our community. We don't just service Laconia, we service the whole Lakes region. So it's Laconia and all the surrounding towns.
Can you tell us more about the importance of having people with lived experience as part of that process?
I think it's very important to have people with lived experience in this process because giving someone in recovery that voice, but also having them be part of the solution, right? Of how do we build this organization? Not everybody's recovery is the same. So it's important to have those voices at the table. And so having peers right in our own community has played a vital role because, to be honest with you, people that struggle with addiction will talk to me, but they connect with their peers in such a deeper level. They're willing to open up so much more because they feel like that person has walked in their shoes.
So I'd love to hear more about how the law enforcement officers in Laconia Police Department are actually engaging with peers.
Our officers are very familiar with Navigating Recovery, and twice a week, we have an outreach group that goes out with our peers from Navigating. We also connect with homeless outreach as well. And so as a group, we all go out and we try to work with people that, you know, are out on the streets. And the officers that connect have a very good relationship. And the good thing about Laconia is that we're a city, but we're small enough where our community knows our officers very well. And we integrate in pretty much every facet. And so you find that our officers that are out on the street are just sitting down for a few minutes and connecting. They know about the resources in the community. They can speak fluently about them. And so we offer rides up to our doorway program. We offer rides over to Navigating. Anything we can do just to start a conversation, right? It's not about just running someone for warrants. It's not about just harassing or anything like that. That's not the way our department operates. It's really about the fact that someone that's struggling with addiction is still a part of this community and they need to be treated as a community member.
Thank you. That is really impactful to hear about all the ways that Laconia PD is really building those community relations across your city. From your bio, you're also a part of many different boards and councils. Can you tell us more about how important those relationships are to your community?
So one of the things that I did when I started working in this position was I wanted to learn about all facets of addiction, mental health, and not only that, but just community itself, right? And so I ended up making a lot of great connections, learning about all the resources in our community. And I wanted to become an expert in that because I really wanted to be able to identify what resource does what. And so when I'm talking with someone, I want to be able to say that when you pick up and make this phone call, you're going to talk to so-and-so and they're going to walk you through this process. And I'm going to tell you exactly what this process looks like. I always found it interesting that prior to this position, we would give someone a number and we as officers wouldn't even know what that number led to. And so we wanted to make sure that we knew exactly what was going on with these resources.
I'd love to hear more about the unique perspective that you bring to all of those groups as a law enforcement officer.
It's important for law enforcement to have a seat at the table because there's a lot of things that we see as first responders that a lot of resources and community organizations don't see until we do that handoff. And so it was very important for me to make sure that we as a police department were part of all of these resources. And so kind of a no-brainer for me to just kind of integrate myself into it. You know, as far as the boards that I sit on and the committees that I'm a part of, they're all different things. You know, there's Laconia Youth Alliance, you know, a prevention coalition for youth. There's the Pickwell Partners in Community Wellness. So we work on all different avenues of community wellness. There's New Futures. So I work with New Futures for the state, largest advocacy organization in the state, working on policy, state level, federal, all of it. And then the other community partners, Lakes Region Community Services, that is an organization that works with individuals that struggle with disabilities. You know, there's a whole different variety of things that I'm a part of, but it's really not just me. It's information that I bring back to the officers, you know, out on the street so that they're really keeping up to date with what's going on in the community.
From your perspective, Detective Adams, working with all of these different community organizations, how are you seeing the role of law enforcement play into the community healing process?
Law enforcement has been looked at as the old school mentality of we just lock people up, right? And in this day and age, that doesn't work. The reality for officers today, right? We have to be able to work in so many different ways. You know, when you sign on as a cop, the last thing you ever think about is, well, I'm going to be a social worker as well. But the reality is we are. And so for me to really get the word out to other law enforcement officers, it's important that you understand that it does get frustrating to deal with the same person over and over and over and not see change. But each time you deal with that individual, you're planting a seed. When you continue to go back and you continue to see that person, you need to water that seed. And every interaction that you have has to be some type of a positive interaction. Whether you're encountering someone that you do have to end up arresting for something, right? You can still turn that into a positive outcome. It's all in how you talk to someone. And the other aspect too is judging someone, right? Sometimes we all as humans, right? We're quick to judge. It's very important that our judgment of someone else, it's seen a higher level because of the fact that we're looked at as professionals, right? Not only that, you need to think about you may be that officer that makes the difference, but you also have to think about all the interactions that someone may have had prior with an officer that may have been negative. So don't get frustrated with someone if they give you a hard time, if they give you an attitude, whatever the case may be, and are standoffish, because you may be walking into something that they've had a lot of negative experiences with cops in the past.
So thinking kind of broadly, what do you see for communities that are working to support those in recovery or those that are still struggling with substance misuse? What do you think the next steps are to stay ahead of challenges?
So there's kind of two facets, right? One, we need to increase our prevention efforts. It's very hard to measure prevention. So I think that always ends up going by the wayside in a lot of senses. And that's a horrible thing. We don't want that to happen. Starting young with our youth, right? DARE programs are great. Other, you know, LEAD programs, things like that. They're a great kickoff point. But as kids get older, we need to make sure that in the community that you live in, you have a lot of positive engagement for these youth. Places for them to go hang out, be kids, but do it in a safe way. And then the other part is I think it's very important for communities to embrace a recovery community organization. They can bring so much to the table, and making sure that there is money federally that allows for these community organizations to grow. But yeah, I think it's really just about embracing that ability to allow recovery community organizations to come into your community. You know, I know there's hesitation, but the reality is that they're hugely beneficial.
I'm so glad that you've mentioned again the importance of working with youth. Can you tell us more about what the Laconia Youth Alliance is doing to support youth in your area?
The Laconia Youth Alliance was formed through our partnership with Public Health, and they received the federal drug-free community grant. And so we hired a coordinator. And basically what we're doing is we are working on different facets in the youth prevention. So one of the things that we're working on right now is actual youth drop-in center, where kids can come, they can get homework support, they can play games. We'll have TVs, video game machines set up, just a place for them to hang out, right? We'll make sure that there's food provided. That was one of the things we did a youth survey. That was one of the things that they were looking for, just a safe place to hang out. We're bringing in a lot of businesses to help support it. We're looking to put it right downtown, so it's easy access for the vast majority of our youth. You know, with Laconia, this SAU is very unique because we are about 51% in poverty. So about 51% get reduced or free lunch service. So, you know, making sure that they have a good support system is important. Another aspect of things that we're doing is we're just doing community events. We're bringing awareness. We are doing PSAs. So it's just a different variety of things that I don't think a lot of communities are doing differently. I think it's, you know, it's just the idea of having that youth voice, but also bringing youth to the table to just ask them what they want. Another thing that we're doing too is at the drop-in center, we will have Navigate and Recovery there as well, and they will be implementing their youth program as well. So working with youth that struggle with substance use, you know, whether it be vaping or cigarettes or alcohol, it's important that we have those types of programs set in place too in our drop-in center.
Wow. And thinking about everything that you've told us today about what you have going on in Laconia and how you're going to grow that across the state of New Hampshire, can you really tell us about what National Recovery Month means to you and to your team?
So for me, I think it's very important and it's a great opportunity to highlight individuals in our community and in our surrounding communities that stay this path of recovery. You know, I've talked to so many people in our community that they're very involved with the recovery community. And the one thing that's kind of been a common theme is the resilience. Having some kind of understanding of just seeing what someone goes through, because I've sat with people. I've sat with someone that struggles going through withdrawal on many occasions. I've gotten the phone calls in the middle of the night. And it's so important to highlight a community that really is so much stronger than people give them credit for. You know, I think it's important that we do highlight the importance that there are so many things that someone overcomes to be in recovery. And I don't think people really understand the everyday struggle.
Really important to remember. So we are running near the end of our time together. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, Paige, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on and have this conversation. Just my last thoughts, you know, take care of each other. I think with all the things that go on right now in this world, right? And whether you've had struggles and you feel like there's no hope, right? There is always hope, and to never give up. That's a huge component to just making every day your own. You know, I tell people sometimes it's 1 minute at a time. That's all you can handle in life. And if that's how far you have to break it down, then that's what you have to do. And as far as, you know, if there's law enforcement officers listening, you know, I can tell you that you're going to encounter someone that you could be that one person in their life that can be their saving grace. So just think about that when you put that uniform on and you go out.
I'd like to thank our guest today for chatting with me to discuss the importance of law enforcement engaging with every individual as a whole person and partnerships that help to address co-occurring challenges for people across communities. Thank you, Detective Adams.
Thank you.
I'm Paige Pressler-Jurr, and I invite all of our listeners to check out www.cosapresources.org for additional resources and guidance for your community's overall strategy to support individuals in recovery and those that want to address their substance use.